Blog Talk Radio.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Sorry, I had a cough. A cough. Not a COVID cough. But My throat was a little dry. I forgot to take a swig of Covfefe. There we go. And welcome to Garage Talk Live. Summer is officially here. Came in on, I think they said Saturday night morning, Sunday morning time, you know. The summer solstice. The longest amount of daylight for the year. Days keep, the daylight will keep dwindling slowly but surely until December the 21st, which is the winter solstice. Which is the shortest amount of daylight in 24 hours for the year. And then, you know, the cycle goes. Then we have the equinoxes, which is summer, spring, vernal, and autumnal. Vernal is the spring, which is same amount of daylight versus same amount of darkness, and for the springtime, and vice versa in the autumn. Not a Chevy Equinox. But anyway, now if you live on the other side of the world, South Africa, Australia, the seasons are reversed on the southern hemisphere. If you live in the northern hemisphere, they pretty much are the same. So it's kind of weird how that happens. I'm seeing friends from South Africa getting bundled up in June and July and August, and then, you know, when we're bundled up here, it's kind of the other way around. I guess I don't have any results on the SRT series founded by Tony Stewart and Ray Evernham and all that. But apparently they kicked off the season, and maybe I can go look at that. See if we can get some of them on board. So, that being said, we've had IndyCar in action, and all three NASCAR Touring Series at the Nashville Super Speedway. First time they had been there in a while. They had to redo the track, and, I mean, they had it shut down. At one time, the only racing event they haven't had there is the Cup Series. They had trucks. They had Xfinity. They had IndyCar. I mean, they had everything but the Cup Series. Track owned by Dover Motorsports. And Dover wasn't about to give up both their Cup dates, because basically that's the home office. And therefore, they never got one. Well, apparently, at the awards banquet, which was held in Nashville the last time out, they found out, hey, what a good NASCAR crowd here. All the Music City, you know, Gibson guitars. I mean, Gibson used to make. The winner's trophy used to be a Sam Bass painted Gibson guitar specifically for the race. Cup guys never got one. Well, unless they won in the truck or Xfinity series. And Kyle Busch, as a matter of fact, they showed this on video when he won the race in the Xfinity series. He smashed the guitar in victory lane, and of course everybody was upset. This is a one-of-a-kind creation, and he smashed it like a rock star on a drunken binge at the end of a concert. If anybody remembers The Who, does that come to mind? Because they used to smash their stuff too. But Kyle thought he was being funny. But Sam Bass, who has passed away a couple of years ago, and I think I had him on the show years and years ago, back when I was up north. But he painted that guitar. I mean, he painted each one. Gibson Guitars is in Nashville. So they put up the guitar, he painted it, and it was awarded to the winner of the race. Anyway, fast forward a few years, the events there were, the track was shuttered, and I guess it, I don't know if it fell in disarray, but I've seen tracks that haven't been used in a while. They wind up, you know, the grass gets overgrown, you know, things like that. But anyway, neither here nor there, the banquet, found out they had a hell of a NASCAR fan base down that way, so somehow convinced Dover Motorsports to resurrect the track from being, I guess, part of the show Mysteries of the Abandoned in about 30 years. Anybody watch that one? Some neat stuff there. Like Nazareth Speedway, I think. Home of the Andretti's. Speaking of IndyCar, that was their home track. They lived there in Nazareth, PA. It was a Roger Penske owned. I think he wound up selling all his stuff to ISC, which is International Speedway Corp, which is NASCAR-owned, the France family. And, you know, they started changing things around. They stopped going to races there. Again, another venue where they had IndyCar trucks, Xfinity, no Cup. So that went by the wayside. I think they took some of the seats out, sent them up to Watkins Glen. And when I went there, it was the Watkins Glen PR people that came down and worked the Nazareth Speedway. But, you know, that's how things go. Same with Rockingham or North Wilkesboro. I think maybe the new SRT series is trying to resurrect some of them tracks, but hard to say. So, that being said, Nashville is back on the radar. Dover finally gave up one of their cup races, and lo and behold, we had the first ever cup race at the Nashville Super Speedway. But anyway, let's revert back and go to the Rev Group Grand Prix in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin, which is probably the largest road course on any circuit. 4.014 miles, 55 laps to finish the event. So, here are the results. Alex Palou takes the checkered flag. Colton Herta, the second. Will Power was third. We haven't seen Power's name up in the top 10 in a while. Scotty Dixon was fourth. Romain Grosjean. Grosjean. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. In fifth, Marcus Ericsson in sixth. Alexander Rossi in seventh. Eighth, Takuma Sato. Ninth, Pato O'Ward. And rounding out the top ten is Max Chilton. Anybody I recognize from four up? There's Graham Rahal in 11th. Graham Ray Hall married to Courtney Force. Winner's average speed, 119.424. The race took an hour, 50 minutes, 55.0534 seconds. Almost 2 hours. We're about 9 minutes short. Four cautions for seven laps, 11 lead changes amongst seven drivers. So you had Newgarden, Palou, Dixon, Magnussen, Sato, Askew, and Chilton. So after all that, and the margin of victory was about 2 seconds, 1.91. Palou leading the last two laps for the win. So Newgarden led the two laps before that. So there was a lot of, let's see, who led the most laps? Five there, eight there, 13. I guess Newgarden leading the first 13 laps was the biggest lap leader. Anyway, Palou leads the points. He's got a 28-point lead over Pato O'Ward. Scotty Dixon was in third. Joseph Newgarden, fourth. Simone Pagino is fifth. VK, did he even run this race? I don't see his name. No, VK did not even run this race, and he was sixth. Seventh is Colton Herta. Eighth, Erickson. Ninth, Graham Rahal, son of Bobby Rahal. And tenth, Takuma Sato. See if we have any. We can find some audio. It's one thing with the IndyCar stuff. I'm on their email list, so they send me this stuff direct. Palou and Stroller at Road America. Next race will be August 8th. Guess where? Nashville. I wonder if it's the actual Nashville Super Speedway or the Nashville Fairgrounds. Let me take a look. Or is it in the road of streets of Nashville? Page not found. Okay, go back to IndyCar.com. So we'll have to see there. I got video. Maybe I can get some audio. Because I can play a video, but it doesn't look No, it's the whole race. I am playing the whole race. Sorry, guys. Anyway, that's what we got for IndyCar. So the next race will be at Nashville. No, the next race will be... I'm looking in the wrong spot. It says next race, and I'm looking down, but the next race is in the big screen, is Mid-Ohio on July the 4th at noon for the Honda Indy 200. All righty. Let's check out the week of Nashville. Like I said, first return in quite some time. I had a friend who was covering the race, but she wasn't authorized to come along. I should have tried to get her on this week, but I don't know. Anyway, Camping World Truck Series, the inaugural Rackley Roofing 200. Nashville Super Speedway, 1.333 mile concrete. And it is not severely banked like Dover or Bristol, which has, I think Dover's 24, Bristol's about 30. I think the degrees of banking here are like 2 or 3, you know, not real steep. So, taking the checkered flag, leading 2 times for 8 laps, did not win any stages, but took the big prize, Ryan Preece in the 17 truck. He is your winner. He's not running for points in this series, so it's just a trophy win and some cash for him. I think he's running in the Xfinity anyway. Anyway, second place, Todd Gilliland, Grant Enfinger. Third, Zane Smith. Fourth, Stuart Friesen. Fifth, Matt Crafton. Sixth, Ben Rhodes. Seventh, Ty Majeski. Eighth, Austin Hill. Ninth, and John Hunter Nemechek. Off his win is rounds out your top 10. Parker Kligerman, who you usually see in the on pit road, actually ran the race. He was in 17th. And Jennifer Jo Cobb did not make the race. Had some issues with the trailer not working. I don't even think she has, and not even on the enter list. She did not run. Haley Deegan did run. She is also running in the ran in the SRT race. She was 21st after starting 14th. Tanner Gray, former Pro Stock champ, NHRA, 18th, started 36th, so he had a good run. And in 11th place is a name you could have fun with, Jack Wood, just like Dick Trickle. Yes, if you're new to the sport, Dick Trickle was an actual race car driver. He used to run in the ASA series and switched over to NASCAR. Average speed, 114.6. 1 hour, 44 minutes, 25 seconds. Margin of victory, 0.9. Your stage winners were Chandler Smith, who took stage 2, and Derek Krause, who took stage 1. So Krause led 1 time for 48 laps. Chandler Smith, 1 time for 48 laps. And your third place guy, Grant Enfinger, 3 times for 39 laps. So some guys had a few good runs going. You figure that's 48 laps each. That's 96 laps out of 150, and then you add 39 to that. So that's most of the race right there. With the win, it's Ryan Preece's first Camping World Truck Series victory in... He's the fifth to win a Camping World Series race in his first start since joining Mike Skinner. Oh. Joining Mike Skinner, Robert Presley, Casey Kane, and Ryan Newman. Yeah. We'll check the points. All right, we have, we'll get to the points in a second. We have 8 lead changes amongst 6 drivers, 5 cautions for 29 laps. looks like 6 laps for stage conclusions. So that takes 12 off of there, which makes it down to 3 cautions for 13 laps for incidents. So they had more caution laps for stages, almost more for stages than incidents, which is kind of lame. Anyway, here's the points. John Hunter with 4 wins leads the points. Right behind him, 70 back, is Ben Rhodes. He has 2 wins. Austin Hill is in 3rd with no wins. Zane Smith in 4th with no wins. Todd Gilliland in 5th with a win. Grant Enfinger, no wins in 6th. Sheldon Creed, 1 win in 7th. Matt Crafton in 8th. Stuart Friesen in 9th. And Carson Hocevar in 10th with no wins each. That's the cutoff for the bubble. And right behind Chandler Smith, who's a rookie, is Johnny Sauter. He's 15 behind. Well, actually, I take that back. He's 30 back. Chandler Smith is 15 behind Carson Hocevar for the final playoff spot. Let's see. Do we have the winner? Yes, we do. Ryan Preece, here he is on his win.
All right, we've now been joined by our race winner in tonight's Rackley Roofing 200 here at Nashville Super Speedway, Ryan Preece with the win. Congratulations, Ryan. Tell us a little bit about that pass there at the end to take home the victory.
Man, it was I thought I gave it away there once he got back by me. I just got tight, and I allowed him to get clean air. So it was just trying to work him, and then I found a little bit of a line up top, and he did a good job to take the air off me. But, you know, there's one thing about me. I never quit and give up, so I just tried to do my best to search around and use the tools that I have inside the race car, and we were able to get back by him, pull away, and just hold on. So ultimately, I got to thank Chad, DGR, Ford, Hunt Brothers Pizza especially, Morton Buildings, you know, all those that make this possible for a guy like me to have this opportunity to capitalize on.
All right. We're going to go ahead and go to questions. If you have a question for Ryan, raise your hand. We're going to get to as many as we can, and we'll start up front.
Ryan, this being your truck debut, and this, since the vast majority of the drivers in this race had not raced here before, did you feel like being that may have taken away any disadvantage you may have had with not having raced here before?
To be honest with you, I was in practice. We weren't anything stellar, but one thing I've always told, and the people that have worked with me in the past know that even if we're not the best in practice throughout the race, I get better and better, and we keep getting the car better and better. So that's my MO, and really just thankful for this opportunity. Just really pumped to win this race.
Okay, additional questions? We'll go up front to Bob.
Bob Harker, Fox Sports. I have a couple. First, he said that his tires were going away, that he was pushing as hard as he could. Could you tell that he was kind of losing some grip?
His looked relatively close, but I think once we got in lap traffic and he didn't necessarily have 100% clean air, that really affected his truck more than mine. Mine, I was in dirty air the whole time. So, you know, he did a really good job, and obviously experience is key. I didn't really know. I mean, I have experience, but it's just learning different things about these trucks. But ultimately, just clean air is king, no matter what. So if I was out front, I probably could have drove away. But we just had a great race trip. We just had a great truck, and that goes to the guys in the pits.
And I know you just kind of you raced to win, but do you ever think about what it means, like beyond today, what it could mean, obviously? don't know what you're doing next year.
So a lot of you guys know that I've lived year to year, or really week to week. I mean, that's been my MO my entire racing career. But when I do get these opportunities, I capitalize. I think I've shown that. So all I can do is go out and try to win races, like I tell everybody, whether it's a modified, a cup car, an Xfinity car, a truck, a go-kart. It doesn't matter what it is. I'm going to drive it to what I can get out of it and try to win because I love winning.
All right, we're going to go from to Larry.
Yeah, Ryan.
They have Ryan Preece. So, on to the Xfinity. Here's the trying to bring up the stats here. All right, here we go. Leading six times for 122 of the 89 laps, taking the checkered flag for the 100th time, leading and winning stage two as well. The one and only Rowdy himself, Kyle Busch. Yes, 100 wins. Started from the pole, dominated the race. And he didn't smash his guitar this time. I think he'd learn better. But anyway, Justin Allgaier was second, led three times for 31 laps, didn't win any stages. Harrison Burton was third, Josh Burry fourth, A.J. Allmendinger fifth, Brandon Jones sixth. Jeb Burton was seventh, eighth, Noah Gragson, Austin Hill ninth, and Riley Herbst rounds out the top ten. So, actually, Natalie Decker was in the Xfinity race. Started 36, finished 26. Good for her. I'd like to get her on the show. Like the promote all the ladies because they usually don't get it. They usually take whatever ride is given them and away they go. The race was 2 hours, 20 minutes, and 48 seconds. Margin of victory was 1.11 seconds. With the win, like I said, it was Kyle Busch's 100th victory out of 360 Xfinity Series races. So, that's almost a third of the starts he won. Which, second place, which Kyle passed, who was the leader at the time with 49 wins, was Mark Martin. This is Kyle's third victory and third top 10 in 2021. So he's won all three races in the Xfinity Series this year. It's his second victory and sixth top 10 in 11 races at Nashville Super Speedway. Like I said, the first victory, he smashed his trophy. Justin Allgaier was fourth top 10 in seven races at Nashville, eighth top 10 this year. Harrison Burton, his first top 10 in Nashville because it's the first time he's run there because it's been shut down till this year. Highest finishing rookie was Josh Burry. So Kyle Busch, there was a rumor, I don't know how true it is, that he'd retire from the Xfinity Series once he got his 100th win. We'll see what happens. There were 11 lead changes amongst five drivers. Your leaders were Kyle Busch, Austin Cindric, who was the second, led once for 53 laps. He was your second most lap leader. Justin Allgaier, three times for 11, was the third. And everybody else, Noah Gragson, once for two, and Hemric, once for one. They must have led during pit stops. There were eight cautions for 46 laps. Two of those cautions were for six laps. I take that back. 12 laps combined. Well, it's saying 14. Stage two was five, and stage one was seven. So that's 11 laps. So two cautions for 11 laps. So it leaves you six for 35 laps. For incident related cautions. Your points are Austin Cindric, with three wins, AJ Allmendinger with two wins in second, Daniel Hemric, no wins in third, Harrison Burton, no wins in fourth, Justin Allgaier, fifth, two wins, Jeb Burton, Harrison's cousin, one win in sixth, Justin Haley, Brandon Jones, and Noah Gragson, 7, 8, and 9 in that order, no wins. And rounding out the playoff lineup, which would be your top 12 in the Xfinity Series, is Michael Annett, Jeremy Clements, and Brandon Brown with no wins. Now, 2 points behind Brandon Brown is Riley Herbst, and 3 points behind Brandon Brown in 14th is Matt Snyder. Now, Matt Snyder does have a win, and Josh Berry does have a win. So they're in. So that'll bump a couple down. At least that's the way it was made. If you win, you're in. And I think you had to maintain above certain, like, 30th place. So Josh Berry and Matt Snyder will move up, and that'll bump Jeremy Clements and Brandon Brown down, which would knock them out of the playoffs and put Michael Annett on the bubble. But those five guys I mentioned, Clements, Brown, Herbst, and Snyder, Snyder has a win, are within 5 points of each other. So Michael Annett is not safe. Went back to four. All right. Let's listen to our winner for the 100th time, Mr. Kyle Busch.
We're now joined by the winner of today's Tennessee Lottery 250, Kyle Busch, driver of the number 54 M&M's Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing. 100th victory today in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, Kyle. Big, big win for you. But you really had to earn it in the last few laps there between you and Justin Allgaier. What a battle it was there at the end of the race.
Yeah, it was a little bit too much, I guess, a couple parts of that. But overall, just, you know, I knew that our car was really good, really fast. And if we could just get clear of those guys and I could run my own line and hit my own marks and stuff, that I'd have the opportunity to drive away. And our car was a little bit better on the longer runs. You know, it wouldn't really fire off for about five, but, you know, once we got about 10 laps in, it would really just, you know, keep going and be much faster than the rest of the guys. So great car. Everybody at Joe Gibbs Racing, thank you. Toyota, Mark Cronquist in the engine shop. I haven't mentioned his name in an awful long time, but he deserves it. You know, and M&M's, of course, for their participation and sponsoring us for, you know, my last couple of years in Xfinity racing and being able to get to this 100 mark. So really, really special and a great day for all the teams that I've worked with over the times. You know, one of them, the crew chiefs that I had back in my 05 season, 06 season came over
and you know, from Hendrick Motorsports, and came and said hello. So real nice to have worked with all those guys and you know, get to where I'm at today.
Okay, we're going to open up for questions. We've got a couple of mic runners back over here. Tucker.
Tucker White, last word on Sports Up. Kyle, what did you and your team see with the tire wear, given all the talk about tires courting during the tire test back in March?
Yeah, I don't think we had much tire wear this time around. That resin or whatever they did to the racetrack in order to get the tires to adhere and put rubber down was very helpful, very useful. It definitely did exactly what they were looking for and was able to persevere tire life. You know, we weren't really wearing tires out, it didn't seem. I don't know what – I think there was a guy who had a flat, probably due to excessive brake heat, just with, you know, how heavy you are on the brakes here, with how fast you can go down the straightaways and how tight these corners are and how much you kind of slide through the corners. So overall, though, I felt like the tire was probably, in my opinion, a little on the conservative side. That's kind of the way it always tends to be, better that way than, you know, one of the uglier races we've had years ago, blowing tires out.
And between you and Austin Cindric in the first two stages of the race, what a lot of leaders just pull away from the field like you and Austin Cindric did?
Clean air. It's just Dover's the same way. You know, you look at these concrete racetracks and they're just, you know, very, very, in my opinion, it's like the grip level, the tire to the grip level of the track is very, very peaky. So as you're running up the grip level and getting to the peak, it just falls off on the backside if you overpush it or you slip or something like that. And so, you know, when you're catching somebody, if the guy in front of you is running right on that peak, you can't, there's nothing else for you to get to be able to run faster than that guy. So dirty air plays a huge role. You know, I felt like I should have been able to run Austin down there. I was a tenth or half a tenth faster than him a couple laps, and then he would get a couple tenths faster than me, and then I'd run him back down. Like, it was just kind of an accordion effect there of not being able to close the gap. But, you know, good cars, when they get out front, just are going to be hard to catch.
Jenna Fry right here. Am I right?
Kyle, was the track like you remembered it?
Yeah, no, it really was. Actually, it was very racy, I felt like. Way racier than I remember Nashville being in the past. We used to come here. I mean, it was always bottom lane, be on the bottom. And, you know, if you ever got off the bottom, you were pretty much getting passed. And that's the way it kind of looked like at the end, but the beginning and the middle part of the race, you can move around, you can enter way high and come down to the middle, you could stay high wherever you wanted to be. So way wider than I remember it being.
Tough practice in the cup side for the Toyotas. Can you get better for tomorrow, and can today help tomorrow?
I don't know. I thought about that same thing myself. I'm like, how can we correlate what we're doing on the Xfinity side and being so good and being so fast in Xfinity to being able to put that stuff in a cup car? But it just doesn't connect like that, so it's not that simple. But yeah, flat out we suck. So tomorrow's gonna be a rough day.
Lee.
Thank you.
Spencer.
SpencerRacingVoice.com. First of all, congratulations. You know, hell of an accomplishment. Your brother was on the sidelines and watching all this and just taking it in, and, you know, he reflected on you guys starting at the bowl ring again, and I know that that's kind of a, you know, it's a topic that just comes up every time you guys have one of those milestones, but do you just reflect on what you've been able to accomplish in such a short period of time since coming to the sport?
Not really. I mean, it's going to be negative, of course, but if you look back on the last 10 years with all the limitations, I mean, hell, I probably could have made that number 150 by now, or 160, 70, whatever. But, you know, with everything that kind of went down and only being able to run five a year, whatever, it's 100 now. And technically they kept me here probably a lot longer. I would have been done a long time ago at 100. But, you know, reflecting on it, looking back on it, is it cool? Yeah, absolutely. I remember being a kid watching the 60 car and Mark Martin just dominate every weekend and wondering to myself, can anybody run with this guy? And that was 49 wins, you know. So I just can't really fathom, I guess, right now myself what 100 really means. But, you know, it would certainly be something to look back on, I guess, once it's all said and done and I'm in my rocking chair somewhere.
And did Brexton, did he shower you with water or was that rowdy?
No, it was water, yeah. This stuff gets a little sticky in the heat. So it's very hydrating, though. You should try it.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Bob.
I'm Bob Parker, Fox Sports. You talk about 100, and so you obviously have your races this year, and then did you say Joe Gibbs has sold races for you next year, and do you now tell him, okay, don't sell anymore, or what?
I haven't necessarily had those discussions with Joe or Pern, but from my understanding is there may not be anything sold next year. So this might be it. Two more. Yep, finish out this year.
And you're good with that?
I'm good with that. No. Did you hear the crowd? Nobody likes me here. So peace out. Bye-bye.
There's Kyle Busch on his 100th win and the possibility of packing it up on the Xfinity Series. All righty. Now for the main event of the day. Going to the Cup race. And the winner is, actually, this was a dominating event. And it wasn't Kyle Busch winning stage two as well, leading six times for a whopping total of 264. That's right, 264 of the 300 laps is none other than Kyle. Not Busch, though. Kyle Larson. There we go. I have a cat that's pestering me. He's my buddy. Anyway, leading, I said, 264 of the 300, Kyle Larson, who's been on fire. He won the All-Star race. I think he's might be three in a row. I don't know. I know he's picking up a lot of top 10 finishes and top 5 finishes of late. Anyway, second place, driving the number 42, Kyle Larson's old ride, Ross Chastain, the watermelon man. That's right. His family grows watermelons. William Byron taking the third spot. So the Chevy top three. A little sunshine peeking in as opposed to let up. Eric Amarola is your first Ford. And fourth, Kevin Harvick. Your second Ford, both on the same team for Stuart Haas. His fifth, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., a good run for him. And seventh, Daniel Suarez. And eighth, ninth, Kurt Busch. Eighth, Kurt Busch. Suarez in seventh, Stenhouse in sixth. What did I skip? All right. Kurt Busch in eighth, ninth, Christopher Bell. And rounding out your top ten is Joey Logano. In 11th, Christopher Bell was the top-running Toyota, and Kyle Busch, who did win on Saturday, was correct. He didn't have a good run. He started second, was in the 11th spot, but, you know, he's already in the playoffs, so he doesn't have anything to worry about. So this was Larson's 10th victory in 240 Cup Series races, his 4th victory and 12th top 10 this year. Chastain is first top 10 in one race at Nashville and his 4th top 10 this year. William Byron, that's his first top 10. It's everybody's first whatever at Nashville in the Cup Series. Because it's the first ever Cup race. In Nashville Super Speedway. So, that being said, There were 14 lead changes amongst seven drivers. 11 cautions for 60 laps. A lot of incidents here. We have 10 laps for the stage conclusions. So 9 cautions for 50 laps for incidents. So, yeah, they did have some stuff go on. I think some of these cautions they throw for no reason. They just, somebody spins, they throw a yellow, but they straighten out. They don't hit nothing. Nobody hits them. Just saying. Oops, where is the points? Still loading? Or did they... There we go. That's the wins. And average speed, 113.7 miles an hour. 3 hours, 30 minutes, 23 seconds. Margin of victory, 4.335 seconds. I can't get the points. Let me see. Now, I know Kyle Larson is going to be up there, so I'm going to go back to a different section here. There we go. Driver's points. Go right to the points report. When in doubt, back out. Unless this thing's... there we go. Leading the points somehow... with no wins, is Denny Hamlin. 10 points ahead of number two, who has 4 wins, is forthcoming 2 days ago. Kyle Larson. William Byron is third. He has a win. Chase Elliott has a win in fourth. Joey Logano in fifth has a win. Kyle Busch in sixth has a win. Martin Truex Jr. with 3 wins is seventh. Harvick, no wins in eighth. Ryan Blaney, 1 win in ninth. Brad Kay, 1 win in tenth. Austin Dillon, no wins. 11th, Alex Bowman in 12th with 2 wins. Tyler Reddick, 13th, no wins. Christopher Bell, 1 win in 14th. Chris Buescher, 15th, no wins. And on the bubble, well, sort of, kind of, Michael McDowell, points-wise, is on the bubble, but he has a win, so he's in the playoffs. And in the battle of the people with no points, bubble-wise, it's Chris Buescher in 15th. And not far behind him, let me do some head math here, 4, 24 points. Between Kurt Busch in 17th and Chris Buescher in 15th. So, that being said, it's kind of a... going to be right there because it said win and you're in. And I don't think, nope, there's nobody else with any wins. So, that's how it's going to be. All righty. Let's check out our winning team. Got the winning team. Cliff Daniels. Cliff Daniels. I know a Tiffany Daniels Powers. I wonder if Cliff is her brother because he used to race with her in like the K&N series.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started with our post-race press conference here today. Winner of today's Ally 400 NASCAR Cup Series race at Nashville Super Speedway. The winning car owner is none other than Mr. Rick Hendrick. Mr. Hendrick, interesting stat that we saw up on the board earlier, that now six of the last 13 venues that have opened, a Hendrick Motorsports car has won. Goes back to Indianapolis, Auto Club Speedway, Kansas with Jeff Gordon, and, of course, the Daytona Road Course in COTA with Chase Elliott, and here today with Kyle Larson. Talk about, again, today's race. Kyle, unbelievable job by the entire five team.
Well, you know, it was I thought he was good in practice. I thought all our cars were pretty good in practice. And, you know, he did an awesome job. Cliff called an exceptional race, and pit crew did their job, and it was pretty flawless all day long. So, you know, they've been in full stride here for the last 7-8 weeks and really all year. But it's good to finish it off. I wish William had had a little bit of gas that we could have win 1-2 again. But we're happy to be here. I love this place. I love the crowd. It felt like old times. Fans excited. Got trapped trying to get in. But it just felt good. It felt like we were back years ago with fans excited, shoulder to shoulder, and really proud of this guy. He's worked hard. They've all brought good cars, and glad to get this win.
We're also joined by Cliff Daniels, the crew chief for the number 5 machine. Cliff, how worried were you there at the end of the race? Were you thinking, could you make it on gas? Could you not? Undoubtedly, you did make it on gas, but how much was it a worry for you?
Yeah, definitely a concern, and Kyle knew going into the race. He and I had talked about so many different strategies, even the caution coming out late and, you know, if we had to take rights or stay out. Or actually one of the last questions he asked me before we walked out of the truck is what a fuel run was and what would be a scenario to save fuel. And I kind of, you know, walked him through potential scenarios, and, you know, we just didn't know what the race was going to play out like here at Nashville. Hats off to the folks at Nashville Super Speedway. What a great crowd. What a great race. Really cool atmosphere being here. So definitely concerned at the end of the race, but Kyle kind of owned what he needed to do to save fuel and got us to the end. He did a great job on track. Pit crew did a great job. Thank you to Valvoline, HendrickCars.com, everybody at Hendrick Motorsports, Chevrolet. What a cool day.
We're going to open up to questions. First one right here, Jerry Jordan, bringing a microphone to you.
Jerry Jordan, KingsTires.net. Rick, you know, to see the 5 car have so much success, and what we all know what that number means, and what does that feel personally to you, and for Kyle to come out here and just really show everybody that he is one of the greatest drivers out here?
Well, you know, when I thought about it this year, and the 5 was our first number, and I was super excited to bring it back and then to run Ricky's paint scheme on it. It was that was kind of like icing on the cake. And then to see the car run like it does, and Kyle do the job, and Cliff do the job he's doing. It's super exciting for me to see all of the cars go. But the 5 was the first number. Almost didn't get through the year, and now to be here and have this many victories and to see that car back on track, it never gets old. I mean, you know, I get nervous toward the end. We're going to run out of fuel. It's going to be a caution. All of those things that I go through, what is it, 270 times now?
I think 271.
271, okay. But, well, I'm old. You know, I can't keep up with it. But, I think every time that the car is on the track, I think back to Jeff Bodine. I think Harry Hyde. I think about the little shop on the hill. I think about I was renting transmissions, rear ends, and all those things. I mean, I don't think I had $200,000 or $300,000 to start. And I think back to those days and kind of reminisce, you know, how hard it was, and then how lucky I've been to have the talent that I've had and the drivers I've had. And it's just been unreal. I was talking to Richard Petty, and I said, you know, I remember getting that autograph from you, and I never thought I'd get to go into pits, let alone have a team. And then we talked about the fact that he backed out on me. Maybe he'd have another championship, but no, it means a lot. It just, you know, just I think about all the people along the way, and I still kept, I kept Harry's shop just like it is with equipment in it, and so I can go up there and walk through there, and it's like going back in time.
There you have Rick Hendrickos. They need to separate the winner from the team on these. But anyway, because our show's about up. Anyway, this coming weekend. Wow. Pocono doubleheader. Race one, race two, cup races. We have Friday night. No, we have Saturday. Double headers both days. I wonder if Arca is going to be up there. Saturday, June 26th, 12 noon. Okay, I see how they got this. The CRC Brake Clean 150 Truck Series. And at 3 after that race is Pocono Race 1, Saturday, Cup Series. So we have the trucks opening up for the Cup on Saturday. And then Sunday, the Pocono Green 225 recycled by J.P. Mascaro and Sons will be noon. And Explore the Mountain, Pocono Mountains 350 will be at 3:30 is the headliner of the day. Wow, that's right. They combined both Pocono races in one weekend. They're kind of pulling kind of like the Detroit Grand Prix for IndyCar. One race Saturday and one race Sunday. So that's going to be kind of interesting. There's going to be some busy people. I remember covering Dover. I'd get up to get there about 7 a.m. and I wouldn't be leaving there until like 9:30 p.m. So, and that's because the race started at about 1 or 2 between all the media stuff afterwards. Anyway, that's our show for today. Hope you all enjoyed it. We'll be back next Tuesday. The 29th at noon. I'm Vinny B. Good day and good racing. Oh, don't forget to go to YouTube. Check out the They Still Live podcast, episode 40, Clams and Hams. I'll let you figure that one out. Anyway, have a good one. See you all next week. Bye now.